You're welcome back to Morning Ireland. It's 12 minutes past seven. And first to Lebanon, and in the deadliest day of Israeli attacks there since at least 2006, hundreds were killed and more than 1,500 injured. The pace and intensity of the airstrikes outstripped the devastation of the 2006 war, when more than 1,000 Lebanese were killed over an entire month. Dr. Firas Abiad is the Lebanese health minister. He's been giving the BBC an update on the situation following yesterday's Israeli strikes.
There has been over 500 airstrikes in different locations, whether in southern Lebanon, in Bika, and also in other areas. The vast majority, if not all, of the sites that were targeted were civilian. Some of them were residential buildings. And anybody who visits the casualties or visits the sites can confirm that. I can cite that during the last week, the Israeli attacks have resulted in an excess of almost 500 who are dead and an excess of 5,000 who are wounded. From the start, the position of the Lebanese government is we do not want war, and we have called for a ceasefire from Gaza to Lebanon. I think that the whole population, which includes a lot of the people who have affinities to Hezbollah, do not want war.
People are fleeing their homes in South Lebanon, heading north to escape the airstrikes. Hezbollah, meanwhile, launched more than 200 rockets into northern Israel, according to the military. World powers have been urging restraint as both sides appear to be spiralling closer to all-out war. Israeli Defence Forces spokesperson Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari said 1,300 Hezbollah targets had been hit, including cruise missiles, rockets and drones, and he accused Hezbollah of using civilians as human shields.
To mitigate harms to civilians, we provided advance warning to civilians in specific villages in Lebanon where Hezbollah embedded its military assets and weapons and warned them to move out of harm's way. However, even as we called on civilians to move away from danger, we saw that Hezbollah operatives were doing the opposite and acted to prevent civilian moving safety.
The Israeli spokesperson, Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari there. Now, for a sense of the situation on the ground, we're joined by Nafisha Kunavard, the Middle East correspondent for BBC World Service. Nafisha, you're in Beirut. What is the situation there this morning?
From where I'm seeing the city, it looks calm, but it is not calm at all. We spent a lot of time in front of one of the schools last night that was receiving people from the south. Thousands of people were arriving one by one with cars packed with women and children. They were all exhausted. Many of them were so angry, so tired. It was so difficult to even talk to them. We asked them that how do they feel. They were feeling so scared. And some of them arrived while news about another attack just not far away from that school in Beirut arrived, because Israeli jets carried an airstrike on Dahiyeh, southern suburb of Beirut, Hezbollah's stronghold. Apparently, they wanted to kill another high-rank commander, which Hezbollah says it didn't happen. But the situation here is tense. People are worried. People are asking that what is next, because now thousands still are coming from not only the south, but also from northeast, which people were given 2 hours to leave their houses by Israeli army. Israeli army issued a notice yesterday asking people who live in Bekaa Valley, which is in northeast of the country, leave their houses immediately in 2 hours. And right after that 2 hours passed, the jets started to attack those areas. And now all these hospitals, schools are being filled with people, the casualties, and also people that fled here. And people in Beirut also asking that, is it coming to Beirut, Beirut itself, and not necessarily areas that is a stronghold of Hezbollah? Because yesterday, Israeli jets attacked areas that they never attacked before, such as a part of Byblos, which is a very touristic area, is a mainly Christian populated area. So everyone was surprised at why the attacks are carried out against those areas.
Can people get out of Lebanon now?
Well, for the moment, yes, but that has been our main concern, to be honest, living here. In the past 11 months, we always wondered that if any day, like what happened in 2006, when the tension raised between Hezbollah and Israel turning to an all-out war between parties, Israeli jets hit Beirut airport. That was the first target they hit in Beirut. So that fear still exists. And the problem is that if Israelis don't want to hit the airport this time, airlines are canceling their flights. So the chance to leave Lebanon also is narrowing.
Now, we know that since October last year, Hezbollah missiles have been raining on northern Israel. Some 50,000 Israelis have fled their homes there. What is the Hezbollah response now to what has been happening with the Israeli attacks over the last week? I mean, starting with the pagers and the walkie-talkies and followed then by the airstrikes.
Until this moment that we are talking, Hezbollah still continues to fire missiles towards Israel and also using longer range missiles, which is reaching deeper inside Israeli territories. It seems that the group wants to send a message to its supporters and also to others and their enemies that they are still capable of carrying out attacks. And bear in mind that on the other hand, on Lebanese side also, as I said, like thousands of people needed to leave villages months ago, and now they need to leave cities, main cities in the south that they took refuge. But interestingly, this morning, until now, Hezbollah was firing missiles, saying that it is firing missiles in support of people in Gaza. For the first time this morning, the group issued a statement saying that they fired missile in support of people of Lebanon, which is different. It shows that now the war officially turned to Hezbollah and Israel, because before that Hezbollah was saying that they are support front and not a front with Israel itself. They are support front for Gaza.
And if the Israeli policy, if they want the destruction of Hezbollah in Lebanon, and how is that working for them so far, and how far away are we now from a ground offensive if they want to complete the job as they see it?
The bombardment that we see in the south and also in the northeast is massive. It's completely different of what we have witnessed in the past 11 months. Significantly, Israelis carrying out big attacks, which is they are using bigger bombs and probably bunker buster bombs, like for destroying tunnels. So it seems that there is a preparation, and depopulating those areas, especially in the south, it's alarming everyone here that the ground invasion may come. This is something that even Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah mentioned in his speech after two waves of beeper and walkie-talkie attacks. For the first time, he said that they were waiting on the day that the beepers started to explode. The group was waiting that Israelis will enter by the land to the south. So this was the first time that he openly mentioned that.
Nafisha Kunivard of the BBC World Service, thank you very much for that report from Beirut this morning. It's 21 minutes past seven. And we're staying with Lebanon, where those Israeli strikes through yesterday left hundreds dead and more than 1,500 injured. Thousands of families fleeing their homes, as the Israeli military said. It hit 1,300 Hezbollah targets in an operation to destroy infrastructure that the armed group had built up since the 2006 war. Hezbollah, meanwhile, launched more than 200 rockets into northern Israel, according to the military. Since the start of the war with Hamas in Gaza and the Hezbollah rocket attacks in support, Israel has evacuated some 67,500 people from cities and communities in the north of the country. Moshe Terpaz is the deputy speaker of the Israeli Knesset, and he said the strikes on Lebanon are a direct response to Hezbollah targeting of northern Israel, and he accused Hezbollah of using Lebanese civilians as human shields.
Israel has been attacked on the 7th of October, almost a year ago.
By Hamas, not by Hezbollah in Lebanon.
By Hamas, and immediately Hezbollah joined in and started shooting missiles at the north of Israel. There are over 50,000 Israelis in the north of Israel that have left their houses in the towns of Kiryat Shmona and Shlomi and in several villages, because Hezbollah has been shooting for almost a year. Now, because we were fighting the terror organization Hamas in Gaza, we couldn't take charge and, you know, punish Hezbollah for all its terror acts. And now, after almost a year, we said no more. So we started, after a year of shooting at Israel, shooting back at Hezbollah. Now, Hezbollah is cynically using the civilian people of Israel, as its shield, and the people of Lebanon as its own shield. We told the people of south of Lebanon, if you have a Hezbollah missile or any other ammunition in your houses, please leave your houses immediately.
World powers have been urging restraint as both sides appear to be spiralling closer to all-out war. Professor Lina Hatib is director of the SOAS Middle East Institute at the University of London. And Professor, there are as yet no Israeli boots on the ground in Lebanon. But do you agree with people like the EU foreign policy chief, Joseph Borrell, who says now that this is almost a fully fledged war?
I mean, it is edging very close to a full-scale war, but it's not there yet, thankfully. A full-scale war would involve a ground invasion or the targeting of state infrastructure in Lebanon. Thankfully, these two things have not happened yet. However, this escalation is the largest seen in Lebanon since the 2006 war. And just yesterday, almost 500 people were killed in one day. And those people, for the most part, were not Hezbollah operatives. They were civilian. And so even if the label doesn't say this is full-out war, what is happening in reality is basically a de facto huge escalation.
But will Israel hope that by raising the stakes with the intensity of this bombardment, that they will somehow persuade Hezbollah to draw back?
This is what Israel is saying, that they are increasing the pressure on Hezbollah to force Hezbollah to withdraw further north in Lebanon and agree to eventually some sort of compromise. The thing is, however, Hezbollah does not want to be seen as having been defeated by Israel, and therefore it is continuing its missile attacks into northern Israel, even as so many people are dying and fleeing in Lebanon. So unfortunately, we are seeing an open-ended war of attrition going on at the moment. Mm.
Up until now, Hezbollah would have said it was acting in support of Hamas in Gaza. Does that change now?
Hezbollah still says that. Hezbollah does not want to be seen as having given up on its ally Hamas. In reality, however, Hezbollah's involvement in this conflict, when it began launching rockets into Israel last October and has continued to do so for 11 months, this has not really actually concretely helped Hamas in any way in its fight against Israel. I think Hezbollah has done this mainly to maintain credibility as part of this self-styled so-called axis of resistance. That's how they call themselves, which is supported by Iran. So there has not been a tactical advantage to Hezbollah's intervention as far as Hamas is concerned. But since Hezbollah has declared this as its cause, it can't be seen as backing down because this would lose it its credibility. So that's why it's continuing.
Now, we heard from Munir Zabad and his family there about their hopes of trying to get back from Beirut to Ireland. We also heard that while Beirut is not at the moment a point of conflict with strikes there, it is tense. You have family there too. What are you hearing from them?
Of course, everyone's concerned about escalation reaching Beirut. So far, the attacks on Beirut have been in the southern suburb, which is where the headquarters of Hezbollah's political leadership is. And these attacks have, although also killed lots of civilians, but they have targeted Hezbollah commanders. There has not yet, thankfully, been a wider attack in Beirut, but people are bracing themselves because this is what happened back in 2006. Things began in the south, they spread to the suburb, and other areas in Beirut became vulnerable afterwards. And the hope is that this is not going to be repeated, but there are no guarantees. So people are very, very scared.
You said that you would be still hopeful that we won't see a ground invasion and a spiral into all-out war. But have we seen here a failure of statecraft, a failure of negotiation between the US and Israel in relation to Gaza over the last year, with President Biden perhaps never using all the leverage he might have had with Netanyahu?
I mean, absolutely. We are here in this war, both in Gaza and in Lebanon, because international diplomacy has failed. If diplomacy had not failed, Hezbollah would not have a reason to continue its missile strikes into Israel. And Israel would then, you know, stop its own campaign in Gaza and would not have even started, I think, a campaign in Lebanon. But, you know, diplomacy has let this conflict in Gaza drag on for the best part of a year. And eventually things are going to start, you know, getting worse. And we are now at that phase in Lebanon. And unfortunately, diplomacy has been a huge letdown.
Professor Lina Hatib, thank you very much indeed. It's 27 minutes past eight.